So, will this meeting of the ambassadors of Jesus Christ come to order? Because that's what we're doing. And we're going to have a look at the last 12 months, and we're going to see what's been going on in the world, because we know that we're waiting for something to happen. And we can see every day in the news that it's happening. I must tell you one thing very funny. Some years back, I had an email from a lady who said to me, "Mr. Henderson, really, do you have to write all these news articles? They are so terribly upsetting." She seemed to be under the impression that I was actually writing all this stuff. No, I don't write them. I just collect them from all the people that send me stuff around the world, and that's what you get. It's what's happening out there, and it's happening for real. So as we start, there's one thing I would like to read here from Mr. Armstrong, because we've got to keep this in mind. This is from United States and Britain in Prophecy. He says, "This world has no real understanding of world events. This may sound incredible, but it's true. Editors, newscasters, foreign correspondents do not understand the real meaning of the world news that they report, analyze, and discuss." Isn't that incredible? But it's true, and you can see it in the papers. Heads of government are utterly unaware of the true significance of the very world-shaking events with which they deal. Now that's kind of worrying. They have no conception of where these events are leading. Incredible? Perhaps. But it's true. That should sober everybody up. Because we're living in a world that's falling apart. And we're living in a... We've been told, you heard in the sermonette, pinched all my scriptures. But we've been told to watch. Why? Because God is bringing about something that is so incredible, and he wants us as his children, he wants us to understand that he is doing it. He is doing it. Oh yes, Satan's the god of this world, but it's God that's doing this, and he's bringing great trouble on some very godless nations, and unfortunately, the vast majority of the worst of them are the people of Israel, which is the USA, Britain, and the most of the western side of the continental Europe. And of course, we've got some derivatives down in Australia and up in Canada. Of course, we've got the pippies up there, haven't we? Seriously, yeah. These are the nations that are sponsoring all the rubbish that you see in the news. So what I thought I'd do, I'd just give an overview of what's happening in the world today. And I haven't gone back 10 years, for the most part, I've gone back 10 days. Just 10 days. A few articles are slightly older. So let's start with Ephraim. Hosea 7, verse 8. You should all know this scripture. Hosea is primarily written to Ephraim, but of course it is also Israel, which includes everybody. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Right. Now, unfortunately today, we make a cake, we chuck it in the fan oven, and we hit 180, and half an hour later, we have a cake. Back in these days, you had an open oven, and you put your cake or your bread in there. And halfway through the cooking period, you had to turn it round because the heat was coming from one side. And if you didn't turn that bread or that cake, one side of the cake was absolutely burnt, and the other side wasn't cooked. In other words, it was totally useless. That is exactly what God is saying about Ephraim. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. When my late mother-in-law was in hospital one time after a fall, I had to walk about, it seemed like miles, down to the ward where she was. And as you walk down, you look in all the wards, and I wasn't seeing white faces. For the most part, I was seeing people from other nations. In fact, many of the nurses were from other nations. Our country's been taken over. London is more than 50% non-British. 50%, that's our capital. Grey hairs are here and there upon him, and he knows it not. That's true. A lot of grey hairs here, except for me. No, they're there, all right, believe me. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. And they do not return to the eternal, their God. There is the problem. There is the total problem. Nor do they seek him in all this. Ephraim, like a silly dove without heart, they call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. And then? We just witnessed the greatest political debacle of the century, of several centuries, in the last few months. Brexit. Mr. Cameron was so convinced that the country would vote yes. I mean, after all, look at what Europe has given us. It's given us some fabulous laws about wonky bananas and wonky cucumbers. They had to be straight, otherwise they didn't conform to an EU directive. And water is no good to rehydrate you, according to the European laws that they passed. Now, they've rescinded some of these stupid things. But they were expecting a yes vote, and they got a resounding no vote. There was no plan B. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? There was no plan B. They had gone ahead, they had put out a challenge, and they were so convinced in their own minds that they would win, that when they lost, everybody started running around like headless chickens. Unbelievable. Now it's going to take months before we can even work out how we're going to untie ourselves, or themselves, I shouldn't say ourselves. I'm going to go into that a bit later as well. Themselves, how are they going to untie themselves from the mess that is Europe? Because all the companies are all intertwined. It's all right, the Germans are saying we're going to beat you over the head. So Britain then stops buying BMWs and Mercedes and Audis and Volkswagens, and 750,000 Germans lose their jobs. It's that bad. They now wallow, totally directionless. Ephraim is a silly dove. Yeah? Have you been driving around? How many times have you run the stupid things over in the road? The last minute they just managed to get out of the way, most of the time. The latest thing from Europe. Meddling Brussels has said the British press should not report when terrorists are Muslims in a slew of demands to the government to crack down on the media. A report from the European Commission against Racism and Intolerance found there was an increase in hate speech and racial violence in the UK from 2009 to 2016. The government is committed to a free and open press. That's our the British reply. The government is committed to a free and open press that does not interfere with what the press does and does not publish as long as it abides by the law. But you see, the Europeans, this European Commission is composed of independent experts. Now, you remember what an expert is? If I haven't told you, if you don't know, an ex is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. And boy, does it apply to some of these people. These experts... they monitor problems of racism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, intolerance, and racial discrimination. They get paid for it. Have you ever wondered why things are going to happen the way they're going to happen? We know, and we were told before I was born, Mr. Armstrong was going on about the fact that Germany was going to take over Britain and America. Astounding stuff, right? Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered why? Does Herr, whoever his name is, wake up one morning and say, right, I will now get the revenge and go over there and blitz our cities and then go over and blitz American cities and apparently with little or no retaliation? There's got to be a reason. Now, we're seeing the reason. Brexit has brought on, given them the scapegoat. So now they blame Britain for every problem. The German bank's problem is Britain. Italian bank's problem is Britain. The fact that Greece is in a mess is Britain's problem. Absolute rubbish. It's always been a problem. But it's just that with Britain deciding to leave, other nations are now saying, should we see there? Should we stick around? Some in Denmark don't want to stick around. Spain, Catalonia wants independence. Even Italy, Germany even is threatening to dump the euro. How's that? It's got to happen. Europe has got to collapse, because out of that collapse will come what we know is the final 10 nations. And that can all happen in a day. It can all happen literally in a day. We have Britain heads for a full break with the EU, which is frankly what they should have done. And just said, look, as of from 1 o'clock this Friday, we're finished. We've cut all ties. Now, Monday morning, I suggest we get around the table and discuss which bits we want to retain so that we can all trade one with another and get on peacefully. But they won't do that, because they haven't got the guts. Sir Michael Fallon, this is what should happen. He said, it's not hard or soft. It's a full Brexit. We are leaving the European Union. Sir Michael also launched a scathing attack on senior Eurocrats for plotting an EU army while failing to meet NATO armed forces requirements. Each nation in NATO has got to be committed to spending, I think it's 2% of their gross national product to support NATO. And they don't do it. Virtually nobody does it. But they're plotting in the background, as we'll see just now. They're plotting in the background to get an army going. Now let's deal with Manasseh. This is quite a big section, because America's quite a big country. America is the country in the world. It is the most powerful nation that has ever existed, militarily, financially, and in many other ways. They were given it, same as Britain was given an empire. We blew our empire, we've given it all away. It's all in tatters. I was brought up in what was then Southern Rhodesia, which is a wealthy area. Everything was exported, very little was imported. Balance of payments was in plus every year. And suddenly the whole thing went belly up, and we have Mr. Mugabe in there, and the people are starving and dying. And he will not let go of power. He's now, I believe, in his 90s. And the country's a wreck. We then went down to South Africa, which is, again, a very prosperous nation. And the locals have taken over, and they've wrecked it. They've absolutely wrecked it. The economy's in a terrible mess. Value of the currency is collapsing like a brick. Everything Britain had has been trashed. We had an empire, Britain had an empire that encompassed the globe. They went in and just literally took over whole nations. They were welcomed in many cases. In many countries in Africa, just welcomed them with open arms. And what have we got now? Not very much. So let's have a look at America, the single biggest, most powerful nation on earth. And let me say that before we go any further, get one thing in your head now, right now. There are people out there who want a world government. Satan is doing the same thing that God is doing as a poor counterfeit. He wants a world ruling government, which he can then control everything from one central point. There's only one snag with having a world government today. America! It's too big. It's too powerful. It has too much clout. So we must get rid of America. We must debase America. We must cripple America. So God allows a president to be elected there 8 years ago against God's law. Manasseh was told, all the Israelites were told, they were going to appoint a leader. It had to be somebody that God would choose, and it had to be somebody of their own people. So America was allowed by God to put a Gentile in there, literally to destroy the nation. Think of God's church. What happened? God's church was destroyed from the inside at the very top. America has been destroyed over the last 8 years from the inside at the top. Mr. Obama has squandered $10 trillion. On what? Paying out handouts to his compatriots. He's filled the White House with Muslim advisors. And the Senate do nothing. Because they're all there just to make to feather their own nest. You don't get any poor senators. They can do insider trading and not be held up in court about it. Think how good that would be. I'm the trade minister, and I'm just about to award Lockheed a contract for quindrillions for 5 million fighter jets and all the rest of it. And I come to you, and I say, Robert, my mate, it's time you had a bit more dosh in the bank, old boy. Buy all the Lockheed shares you can get hold of. Borrow, beg, steal money. Buy as many as you can get by tomorrow noon. And then tomorrow noon, I make this announcement.
and Lockheed shares go whee.
That's it, Robert.
Sell them quick. Sell them quick.
Because there's a problem. And that's how they do it. And they make millions and millions and millions. It's totally corrupt. It's totally dishonest. But that's what our governments are like. Mr. Armstrong always said it, the one big lesson we've got to learn, man cannot rule himself. He was never designed to rule himself. All goes back to hugging the wrong tree. America, where do we start? Well, I think the best thing to do is have a look at this election now. Here we have a nation of, what, 330 million some people? And the best they can do is Mrs. Hillary Clinton and Mr. Trump. But you know what? All is not what it seems. Mrs. Clinton should have been in jail many years ago. And this is fact. It's been covered. I've got an article here by FBI Director James Comey. He recommended that charges against Hillary Clinton for mishandling classified material should be quashed. Of course it should. Why? Well, because his brother also is in on it. And into the Clinton Foundation, he's a defense contractor, and they're all in each other's back pocket. Comey earned $6 million in 1 year alone from Lockheed Martin. I mean, $6 million, plenty of cash. Lockheed Martin became a Clinton Foundation donor that very year. That's good, isn't it? I got a scratch and you got an itch. Let's go for it. According to the records, Lockheed Martin is also a member of the American Chamber of Commerce in Egypt, which paid Bill Clinton $250,000 to deliver a speech in 2010. Lockheed Martin won 17 approvals of private contracts from Hillary Clinton's State Department. Nice. In 2013, Comey became a private board meeting director and financial systems vulnerability committee member of the London Bank HSBC. You see these people, they all jump. The number of people who've worked for Goldman Sachs who end up in the U.S. government is staggering. So who's controlling the U.S. finances? Most of them have been through the school. They come through the line. Look what happened back in 2008. And they covered up and covered up and covered up. Disgusting. And yet these people eventually end up running America. And what did they come up with? I have the problem solved. We just print money. In fact, we don't even bother printing it. We get one of these computer geek guys to just keep on putting zeros on the end of a one. And when it comes to a halt, then that's fine, that'll do for now. We spend another trillion. For those of you who don't understand what the difference between a billion and a trillion is, it's very simple. If you have $100 bills, you get one of the supermarket bags, you can put $1 million in a supermarket bag, right? If you want to know what a billion is, it's a pallet, 1 meter by 1 meter, a cube, 1 meter, in $100 bills, that's $1 billion. $1 trillion is a 1 acre field piled up too high with pallets. Mr. Obama's managed to get through 10 of those. I got nothing, literally nothing, to show for it. This article ends up by saying, we are in a crisis of corruption that is permeating all corners of our government, even now reaching right up into the FBI. I had a conversation with Mr. Forson, but he was over here one time. He was talking about corruption in Nigeria, because they're good at it. The trouble is they're so blatant. You can see it from a million miles away. I said, but you know what? We are so much better. We deal in billions where you deal in millions. But we do it in such a nice way that nobody notices. WikiLeaks confirms Hillary sold weapons to ISIS. It appears that Hillary Clinton committed perjury just like her husband was caught doing as president. What happened to him? Well, nothing. Commit perjury? No problem. He's human, after all. Who is telling the truth? Clinton slams Trump for artificially strong stock market. Mr. Trump had the effrontery to tell the truth. And Mrs. Clinton didn't like that. It's saying that the Fed, by printing all this money and giving it to the banks, the banks then buy shares because, after all, they can't lend it to all these companies that are in such a financial mess they would probably lose the money, so they go and buy shares. And the stock market is flying like a kite, and industries wallowing in because they can't raise any cash. And Mr. Trump mentioned that the stock market was artificially strong. He says, we have a false economy, he said. At some point, the rates are going to have to change. He says, the only thing that is strong is the artificial stock market. Mr. Trump has not exactly covered himself in glory. He does have some good common sense ideas to solve some of the problems, but some of his comments come across as a bit crass. Not the kind of language one would expect from a president. He is also fighting a media. And then solid evidence the media is biased against Donald Trump. It says, once upon a time, the mainstream media worked very hard to maintain the illusion that they were objective and unbiased. Now they don't even bother. They don't want Trump because their bosses have told them, we don't want Trump. So Mr. Trump's getting it from all angles. You've probably read in the paper that a number of women have come forward claiming that they've been manhandled by him in some way. And another article has just come out saying, yeah, but it's all a setup. It's all a bunch of lies. Who do you believe? Who do you believe? Donald Trump finally said it. It has been a major week for Republican presidential nominee Donald J. Trump. Incidentally, his name is Trump. He's actually German. There's an interesting fact. The Republican establishment is not happy with its unwillingness to support Republicans who have helped enact the Obama agenda, and the media can't stand how Trump never backs away from a fight. Trump is your worst nightmare if you're in government. He's got so much filthy lucre that he can fight. He doesn't need. He told the Republican Party, I don't need your money. He told the Jews in New York, I don't need your money. I need your support. Oh, isn't that a lovely position? And they hate him for it. Of course they hate him. He says, does this mean Trump will moderate, start using a teleprompter, and try to play nicely with Washington insiders? Said, of course not. Absolutely not. Trump has doubled down and just released the most brutal, serious statement of his campaign. Here's what he said. Obama and Clinton have single-handedly destabilized the Middle East, handed Iraq, Libya, Syria to ISIS, and allowed our personnel to be slaughtered at Benghazi. They then put Iran on the path to nuclear weapons. They have allowed dozens of veterans to die waiting for medical care that never came. Hillary Clinton put the whole country at risk with her illegal email server, deleted evidence of her crime, and lied repeatedly about her conduct, which has endangered us all. They released criminal aliens into our country who killed one innocent American after another, like Sarah Root and Kate Stiley, who have repeatedly admitted immigrants later were implicated in terrorism. In other words, the lovely people that we're rescuing from the crisis that they created in the first place are actually turning back and causing problems. She was reckless with her emails, reckless with regime change, reckless with American lives. Our nation has been humiliated abroad and compromised by radical Islam brought into our shores. We need change now. This powerful message from Trump, who is clearly still willing to fight for American greatness. The global elites can't stand that he's a billionaire who can't be bought, which is why he's able to speak the truth about Hillary Clinton and Obama. It is the most powerful argument that any candidate could make in 2016, and voters hear it loud and clear. Okay? That was on about page 16. What was the lead story? You're all sitting comfortably. I don't want you falling off your chair. This is the crunch story on the headlines. Debate watch. Fly lands on Hillary Clinton's face. Okay? Fly lands on Hillary Clinton's face. You know. Twitter was abuzz last night. Twitter was abuzz last night over startling new revelations that a fly landed right on Hillary Clinton's face during the debate. Wow! I'm sorry, this is true. I did not write it. Now, there's an article here. Chaos will erupt across America in less than 100 days. This one is actually from a few weeks back, literally a few weeks. The clock is ticking for America. There are 70 days remaining until the presidential election. And after the results are counted, America will be a tinderbox ready to explode no matter who wins. Think about it. If Mrs. Clinton gets in, She's threatened to allow the gun companies to be sued by anybody shot by one of their guns. Have you ever heard anything so stupid in all your life? She will totally obliterate the whole American gun manufacturing business. Do you think that the Republican half of America... And isn't it interesting, too, that America's kind of almost split right down the middle. It's like, you know, 51, 49 or whatever. It never seems to vary by much. And the people in the cities tend to be Democrats, and the people out in the country tend to be Republicans. And the Democrats are socialists. They just want to hand money out and buy people. And, of course, you get certain segments of the population where you give them enough money and they sit there with their feet up watching the telly and they can afford to buy a few drugs on the side and they don't want to work. No intention of working. So what are they going to do when a Republican government gets in and Mr. Trump says, right, you all, we're going to change a few things around here. Yeah. We're going to undo what the bankers have done, okay? The bankers, over the years, the last 20, 30 years, have taken American industry and they've shipped it out to China and places east because they can get it produced cheaper. They then bring the goods back and they keep dropping the price just a little bit, just a little bit. And people think, boy, it's great, inflation's going down. My computer now only costs $1,000 when it cost me $1,500 three, 4 years ago. It's great, it's wonderful. The problem is the guys who are making the computers in America are now on the dole. They ain't got a job anymore. The banks have gutted America, basically. They've gutted America. And this is what Mr. Trump is rampaging about. He wants those industries brought back to America. But the trouble is, you see, if you do that, you put the price up because the American people, they're not going to work for $3.50 an hour. They're going to want $13.50 an hour or even more, which means the cost of that computer will go back to $2,000 and nobody will be able to afford to buy them. So it's like, you know, Mr. Monroe was a bit sneaky today because one of his pet sayings is, whenever somebody mentions, you say, oh, only going to get worse. And, you know, it does by the day, doesn't it? It does by the day. The problem now is unsolvable. Because if you try bringing all the industry back, you're going to create problems in the Middle East. Because if China hasn't got... China's growing at like 7-8% a year. If they drop below 7%, the communists are worried they'll lose control of the nation. You know, when they come onto the internet, over the space of a couple of years, there were 600 million of them, bang, on the internet. It's a great market. You know, you got 1.2, 1.3 billion people. You want to sell cars or whatever over there, and they're getting wealthier and they want cars. They've got the best traffic jams in the world. Great place to sell cars. But you see, it's a fool's paradise. It can only go on. They pay them a dollar a day at one stage. Then it became a dollar an hour. Now it becomes $3 an hour. And that's $5 an hour. But you keep them happy. They're still churning out the goods. And then they can start buying things, start buying cars, start buying computers. By the tens of millions. But you know, ultimately, they're going to want $13.50 an hour, the same as the Americans. And then where are you? There's another problem. America took most of its computer stuff into China. Who's not got the technology? You know, the Chinese produced a stealth fighter bomber in 2 years flat, in the air, flying, not on the drawing board. The design is remarkably like some of the American ones, though. Very remarkably like. He says, the radical extreme leftists will go on a violent rampage which leaves the rest of us begging for martial law. There's your problem. And it yet might happen before the election or between the election and when whoever wins is getting inaugurated in, is it January? Yeah. If you then get a situation where they've got to declare martial law, Mr. Obama remains in power. According to the Constitution. As I said to somebody this morning, and I was at a conference many years back when I was at college, a news conference, all the top people were there, and we sat at lunch with this guy from Time Magazine, one of their top foreign editors, and we got talking, and he found out I'd been down in South Africa, and he said, do you think they'll ever accept one man, one vote down there? I said, we've been doing that for 100 years. He said, no, you haven't. I said, yes, we have. One man, one vote, once, and that's it. That's African democracy. Once the guy gets in power, he's stuck. He's nails his feet to the floor. He can't get him out. You see it all over Africa. In America, you got people with guns. Some people have their own private army. And if the government tries anything radical, they're going to be some real trouble over there. It could even, as somebody said, end up in a civil war. America will be destroyed almost certainly from the inside. That's the way it seems to work. It happened that way, exactly that way in the church. And what do we have now? Total mess. Major cities all over America have become infested with opiate addicts and extremely violent gangs. I heard the other day that Chicago, I think it was 500 young men, blacks mainly, have been killed in gang warfare this year already. And we're only now still in October. 500. Back in the year 1900, there were probably about 150 murders in the whole of America. It's quite incredible. It says violence and drugs are flooding the streets of our major cities, but those that live in cushy suburban neighborhoods may not have heard much about it because the mainstream media is so obsessed with covering Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It just says that the opiate pain relievers have soared to unprecedented levels. In some areas of the country, health authorities are finding themselves absolutely overwhelmed by overdose cases this summer. And look at some American cities, you know. I mean, you know, Detroit used to be the place to be, let's be honest. It was Motor City. They had all the motor industry there. They're churning out cars by the million, full employment, everybody happy. Today, it's derelict. It's derelict. They have meetings deciding whether they're going to just trash whole neighborhoods because they can't afford the upkeep of the streetlights and maintaining the roads. There's nobody living there. It's a mess. Here's another one from RT. If those of you who are looking for news, RT is the Russian news. Obviously they're biased like everybody else, but they obviously give you a lot of news that the Americans don't want to hear. The United States is in decline. I think everybody seems to be agreeing with that. While not all major shocks to the system will be devastating, when the right one comes along, the outcome may be dramatic. This is how the Russians view America. If you remember, Mr. Putin said to, I think it was President Obama when he first came into power, he says, you don't make the same mistake we made 70 years ago by going communist. It doesn't work. America today is a communist nation. It's a communist nation. He's talking about, not all explosives are the same. We all know you have to be careful with dynamite. You've got to handle it very gently. The Semtex is quite different. Semtex, you can bash it with a hammer, you can drive a car over, you can throw it out the window, you can do it. You've got to have the right detonator. And that's what this writer's saying. He said, but just add the right detonator and you're just one click away from complete devastation. We can see how fragile the U.S. is now by considering just four tendencies. And he's got here the destruction of farms and reliable food resources. So much of food in America is all grown in one place, California. As we see just now, California is just not a good place to have all your eggs stored in one basket. Only 2% of the U.S. population now live on farms. 2%. You know, you can go on about wealth and you can go on about motor cars and jet planes and flying around the world. If you haven't got food in your stomach, you die. It's that simple. Food supply logistics are extended, sometimes stretching thousands of miles. The shops have nothing more than a few days stock. A simple break in the supply line would clear the shop out in days. And when we were over in Kentucky some years back, I noticed that in the fruit and veg, it seems everything came from California. They may grow a few things in Florida, like oranges. Huh? A weak economic system. The American economic system is little more than froth. The U.S. currency came off the gold standard in 1933 and severed any link with gold in 1971. That took away the restraint. When you were controlled by the value of gold, you were being restrained. You could only spend, you could only create so much money. But now that restraint is lifted, it pretty much. They were even talking about helicopter money. Yeah, literally.
And you know it's not a bad idea. The money they gave to the banks in 2008, one wise guy came up and said, if they had given everybody in Britain and America over the age of 50 £1 million, right, £1 million, but the stipulation was you had to all go out and buy a new car, you had to have two holidays within your own nation, and you either had to buy a house or pay off your mortgage. He said, you know what? Our economy would have been running like an express train. Because when your building trade and your car industry are running full tilt, the whole economy is going. Because the money is circulating. We're producing. Yeah. What nobody seems to think long term, you know? But you start producing all this stuff. Eventually, you know, how many computers do you need? How many cars can you afford to run? How much food can you eat? Mr. Soros has got billions and billions and billions and billions stacked away. He can only eat one fillet steak at a time. See, Americans increasingly relying on mind-altering drugs. Drugs are a major problem in the U.S. They are a major problem in Britain, believe me, and on the continent. Morals in decline. During the objective hardship of the 1930s, there was a surprisingly low crime rate. 25% of the population were unemployed. People were brought up with a conception of morals and of right and wrong. Frugality and prudence were prized values. Communities were generally fairly cohesive. Relative to that, society today is undisciplined, unrealistic, and totally selfish. And we had it in our little village some years back. The tanker drivers went on strike, and the trucks couldn't deliver food. And I went into our local supermarket, which got a bakery, and they were baking these French stick, these long French bread things. And the guy brought out a big pile, and this woman grabbed the whole lot and chucked them in a basin. And two of the others descended on it, and there was a real campfire going on. And I just thought, you know, what's it going to be like when all the shelves are empty? It says around 250 million shoppers participated in Black Friday sales in 2013, in which around $61 billion was spent on consumer items, or roughly 100% of the 2006 figure. Stampedes and even murders are not uncommon each year. It says, my point is just because US and many other countries organized after the same template do not look explosive, does not mean they won't blow up. Since whereas 80 years ago we could absorb major shocks, today we cannot. We had a war. I was born just at the end of it. Everything in this country was rationed. You got one egg per person per week. I put up a quarter pound of butter, and everything was rationed except fish and potatoes. We had a nation of people living on fish and chips. And you know what? At the end of the war, we had a nation who were fit and healthy. Fit and healthy. We go into the millennium. What's one of the things about the millennium we're going to next week? Rivers, lakes. Pools, full of fish, full of fish. Probably be one of the most biggest part of the stable diet of people. Nowhere to run, this is the fourth point. In the past, people were in rural communities. They could grow food. They had real community. They also had self-control and a conception of morality. I know when I was a kid in Rhodesia, we used to joke about it, because out in the country, they had what they called a party line on the phone. They had one telephone wire, which went like 300 miles maybe into the bush. And everybody's farm was linked onto this telephone. And you had your own ring. Like, we go three short, one long. Oh, that's us. So you pick the phone up, because everybody else picks the phone up as well. But you know what? If there was a problem, if somebody had a bushfire, everybody completely just dropped what they were doing and went to help. They went to help. Now, I suppose in America, they dial 911 and just go back to watching the television. He said, I would argue that the right shock event, a combination of shock events, will detonate that explosive. I am saying that while it may be possible to keep loading box upon box of Semtex into the truck, given the right detonator, the collapse will be swift, unstoppable, and devastating. Guess what? I think this man's got it right on. Because, you know, at the end of the age, we are told that Ephraim sees a sickness in Hosea there. Judah sees her wound. They go to the Assyrian.
Now, if anything happened normally, they'd go to America for help, wouldn't they, if it was a major disaster? So what happens? America, it seems, is going to be weakened and weakened and weakened until she's no longer got the fight left. And then we come to the 5% of terrorist attacks. Leviticus 26, verse 16. Just make a note of that. You can read it later. This is what God says. He says, I will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. Terror. People are getting really scared of going into certain public places nowadays because of bomb threats. Even the beer fest, I believe, in Germany, the numbers were down. The numbers were down. CIA officer, we create terrorist attacks in America. A former high-level CIA officer has come forward and blasted the American government policy of utilizing terror troops abroad and confessed that intelligence services create terror incidents in the USA. I mean, the alternative press has been saying this for years, that these things are caused by our own people. David Steele, former CSA clandestine services case officer, has become the latest intelligence services veteran disturbed by government practices to go on record saying most terrorists are false flag terrorists or are created by our own security services. That is astounding. But you know what? You go back into history and you find it all the way through history. The Second World War more or less started like that, with the Germans taking a bunch of guys and shooting them, putting Polish officers' uniforms on them, and claimed that they'd crossed the border and started attacking German troops. And that resulted in the death of tens of millions of people all around the world. The country behind the propaganda is the United States. But the reality is that people are participating in fabricated wars based on lies and misinformation sold to the public as truth. Here's an astounding statement by this man. You've got to question, is he just trying to aggrandize himself? But what he says is, the truth is, there is no Islamic army or terrorist group called Al-Qaeda. I've heard this from several sources. And any informed intelligence officer knows this. But there is a propaganda campaign to make the public believe in the presence of an intensified entity representing the devil, only in order to drive TV watchers to accept unified international leadership for a war against terrorism. That has a ring about it, you know. And then when the drama comes, they go to the government, come on, we want martial law, we want needs to protect us. And what they don't realize is they'll be protected, but they're going to be controlled. And if you think about it today, everything we do. I was reading an article recently about Google, the information they collect on us. And you think it's a bit trivial, but it builds a picture. And they've got these places where they can store vast amounts of information now, huge amounts of information. And if they want to get at one particular person, they can check out. They can get your driver's license, they can get your passport details, they get your mortgage details, your credit card, what do you spend, where do you go? Where do you go for your holidays? I mentioned this some time ago to some people. I saw a case where a guy was talking to a computer geek and about the security and laughing it off, and the guy said, give me your wife's maiden name. That's all. Just your wife's maiden name. I mean, obviously, they knew the guy's married, his surname. He said, I'll meet you back here in 1 hour. And he came back in 1 hour. He had about 90 pages. And he says, this is all obtained legally. I've not falsified anything. I've not broken any law. And everything, you know, primary school, high school, grades, where she'd gone for the gap year, several fellas that she'd been out with before she married him, and she'd had some sort of an accident, she had been in the hospital, all her medical was there, all her credit card was there, her bank account details were there. And that's a guy got that with no effort at all, because he just knew where to get it. Stunning. How much more do they know? And then there's an article on the Anglo-American war machine. This is where Britain and America get together. Britain is now officially the second biggest arms dealer on the planet, second only to the US. On average, over the last decade, Britain has sold more weapons than Russia, China, and France altogether. But notice nobody mentions Germany, though. See, the fact is that Germany is one of the top arms makers and has been for many years. They make everything from handguns to field guns to tanks to missiles to satellites, jet fighters. It's all there. Oh, it's all for export, of course. Until we come to make our army up, then all of a sudden we're fully equipped. That's why Mr. Armstrong said, this Europe is going to burst onto the scene and people are going to be gobsmacked. How did this happen? Where did it get? How did it? It's all happening under our nose and we can't see it because we're too busy watching the football on Saturday night and EastEnders all week. But the US and Britain are not busy killing Syrian soldiers who are fighting against ISIS. They are flooding the most war-torn region of Earth, thanks to Western wars, with weapons. The likes of Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, BAE Systems have been making a killing of the perennial wars we have seen in the 21st century. America has been involved since World War II in 54 regime changes. Not all of them have succeeded. They tried to get Mr. Netanyahu booted out at the last election, and they tried to get the Egyptian president, and that one went astray. But all the others, Syria, the fight in Syria is all over a pipeline. America wanted to put a pipeline from Qatar up through Syria into Europe. And for some reason, I'm not sure yet, I've not had a chance to really search into it. But Mr. President Assad of Syria said, no, not coming through our land. Immediately, the CIA started supplying arms to a bunch of Muslim terrorists who then attacked the government troops. And today, Syria is devastated, literally devastated. And America is there. The Russians went in for 2 weeks and did more damage to ISIS than America done in 12 months. The trouble is America is still evidently supplying guns to the, quote, rebels, unquote. Now the Americans are threatening to bomb the Syrian positions. And Russia's turned around and said, if you do that, then we'll take you on. So, you know, this is why people are getting worried about a third world war. But according to Mr. Armstrong, we don't need to worry about that because there is no prophetic instance of any war between Russia and America. But it doesn't stop the fact that Western aggression is and will continue to be the most destructive force on Earth. Now do you see why the world hates Britain and America so much that when they're both weakened and ready to be taken over, they will be taken over. They will be taken over. And as I say, if you read the prophecies, you don't get any type of retaliation at all. The cities are just devastated, and it's got to be nuclear, because it talks about baldness, which of course is a result of nuclear weapons and so on. And it says the Anglo-American war machine is the greatest impediment to global stability today. America is greatly feared and hated, as is Britain. And when the time comes, when they get weak enough, they'll be taken out. But Mr. Armstrong's been saying that since the 30s. Race wars. Mr. Armstrong talked about this quite a bit. Remember the Charlotte riots a few weeks ago? And the old sheriff got up there and Mr. Aaron Burnett, says, this is not Charlotte that's out there. These are outside entities that are coming in and causing these problems. These are not protesters, these are criminals. He says, we've got the instigators that are coming from outside. They are coming in on buses from out of state. If you go back and look at some of the arrests we have made last night, I can say 70% of these are out of state ID. Yeah? Bussed in by a group supported by millions of dollars by one George Soros. That man, he's on a one-man mission to destroy America. Millions upon me. He supports Hillary Clinton. He supports a number of foundations that are in there causing problems. Now, there was one recently where a state or a part of a state, there was a big thing about this... what do they call them again? The mixed up ones that they can't make their mind up whether they're male or female. Transgenders, yeah. And they brought a big case against this government department of all. And the one lady got up and she said, look, she said, we're talking about six transgender children and we've got 43,000 normal children, and you want us to change the law? Buddy, there's the door. Right? That's the right thing to do. And the next day, the lawyer comes and slaps the thing on them, and they've now got a big problem. We've got heads of police departments in jail awaiting trial for contravening these laws that have been put in to protect these people. Even Facebook has got a choice of 50 genders. I mean, maybe I'm maybe a bit crude, but you know, if you want to know what you are, just go and dress in front of the mirror. If your plumbing is external, you're a man. If it's not, you're a woman. It's so simple. God made us male and female. But you read the rubbish these people talk. 18 months ago in Ferguson, the same problem. The man pulling the strings, George Soros. He actually recruited these people, paid them. It's rent a riot. George Soros donated $33 million to social justice organizations, which helped turn events in Ferguson from a local protest into a national flashpoint. America is being destroyed from within at the top. There's a man I use his material fairly regularly, Michael Schneider. He's got a good head on his shoulders. And he's looking at these things, and he's making, he writes a lot. He says, a cloud of madness is descending on America, and most of us are completely unprepared for the chaos that will be unleashed during the months ahead. This morning I was reading through Deuteronomy when I came to a phrase that really resonated with me. In the modern English version, this is what Deuteronomy 28:34 says. You will go insane because of what your eyes will see. You will go insane. 10,000 will die at your right hand and 1,000 at your left. It will not come nigh thee. We'll go into that in a minute. You will be insane. There's another scripture that talks about men sitting at the side of the road holding their stomach like they're a woman giving birth. As I recently detailed on the most important news, there are at least 150,000 gang members living in Chicago today and only 13,000 law enforcement officers of all types to deal with them. That means the police are outnumbered by more than 10 to 1. And at this point, the shootings are up about 50% compared with the same time last year. If unrest and violence are spiking this dramatically in places like Milwaukee and Chicago now, what are things going to be like when the economic conditions start getting really, really bad? You know, I was talking to Mr. Bowles a while back about some of the end time scriptures, and he brought up a very interesting point. It seems to indicate that he's talking about a portion of meal for a penny or something. If you read it carefully, it seems to be giving the impression that it's not that there's a total famine, but the people can't afford to buy the food. You know, if you go to the supermarket and you've got 300 kids and a wife at home and the supermarket shelves are empty, then there's no point in mucking around. You get out, you go someplace else. Try and find something around to get you can get your hands on. But if you go there and there are people in there and the shelves are full and you can't afford to buy the basic essentials, how long does it take? How hungry have you got to get before you go in there and help yourself? And that's happened. I mean, it's happened in America. It's not been publicized very much, but one of the nice things these do, but it's particularly young black fellas, they do this. They all get together on social media, they get a meeting point, they get 100, 150 of them, and they'll go into like a Walmart, and they'll just go through it like a... and walk off with the stuff. And how can you stop that? How can one security man, you know, stand a chance? The European Union, or disunion, depending on how you want to look at it. Merkel wants German military budget boosted to counter external threats. And the external threats are the countries being invaded by Muslims, which she invited in the first place. Okay? German banks are in a mess. She has turned around and said, No bailout. So what's going on here? Watch out and see if I'm right. I think what's happening is that what the Germans are doing today is they are creating a crisis. And when the crisis gets bad enough, they will then take over. And to me, it seems very obvious. I read this stuff day in and day out, and it doesn't make sense. And the bottom of this article says, a common European army would convey a clear message to Russia that we are serious about defending our European values. Now it starts getting interesting. Our European values. But we understood this 35 years ago. Romans 9 and 10, Mr. Armstrong, 5th of January 1980. We heard this tape just the other week. Quote, now, what is this going to do? It isn't that Russia is going to do some great and terrible thing. What Russia is going to do is they are going to frighten the nations of Europe, and they're going to bring about the consolidation of Europe, and things will move fast. And the Vatican will get together with the nations of Europe, and they will then resurrect and declare the reemergence of the Holy Roman Empire, a union of church and state. Right? Create a threat. Counter the threat. Take control. That is how it works. The people look at Russia, they see a threat. They look at their army. And if you remember, I've had this on the news over the last 18 months. We've got 50 jet fighters, the Germans are saying, and only 10 of them can fly, and 5 of them can only stay up in the air for 15 minutes. And we've got all these tanks, and they're all worn out, and we've got this stuff, and our missiles are ancient, and the people are getting worried. What have we got? We can't defend ourselves with this lot. They didn't tell them that they had 500 Panzer tanks in cold storage. All they got to do is bring them out, clean them up, and they're all ready to go on the road. And they're lying through the teeth about the jet fighters because they've got over 100 Eurofighters, and they're all very much in the air, thank you very much. Germans have got the finest military equipment on the face of the earth right now. The problem is, you see, the EU was created to control Germany. All the European nations know Germany is the problem. It's just the Assyrian. They don't understand why the Assyrian is the problem, but the Assyrian is the problem. And it says they enforced uniformity instead of trying to understand difference. Okay? In other words, in one country they will do something one way, in another country they will do it another way, but both work. So what's the problem? What is the problem? You know? Just support it. But no, you must all be the same. You must all have straight bananas. It says, in the end, they revived exactly the hateful forces that they hoped to extinguish. But now that one got down the wrong way. Mr. Juncker and Mr. Tusk are the two top men over there. They both have entirely different ideas as to what Europe should be. Mr. Juncker, he wants a combined thing where everything is under the control of Brussels. And Mr. Tusk says, no, the European parliaments must be allowed to make up their own way. And it's like it goes on. It's just modern day Babylon. This article reveals the true nature of Europe today. Mr. Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Commission, totally unelected, by the way, is pushing for a totally integrated Europe. Mr. Donald Tusk, who is the president of the European Council, wants more power returned to the individual nations. Jesus Christ made it clear this situation cannot continue, that if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Mark 3:24. Cannot stand. It's impossible. The key reason for the creation of the European Union after World War II was to stop Germany from becoming a militaristic power ever again. Yet after 70 years of relative peace, Germany and Mr. Juncker are pushing for the creation of a European army. Germany has allowed over 1 million young Muslim males into their country, which has created chaos, yet Mrs. Merkel refuses to cap the number entering the country. She's talking about it. She hasn't done it. This has caused an upsurge in right-wing Nazi politics yet again in Germany. Because I know Mr. Schnee used to be the office manager in Germany. He just said to me, when everything's peaceful and quiet, the Germans are great people. But he says, don't put us in a crisis. Don't put us in a crisis. He says, all we need is a strong leader and we'll just take over. And he was dead right. Europe today is a mixture of strength and weakness. It is hopefully disunited right at the top. The present European Union is doomed. Prophetically, its successor, the final 10-nation beast power, will also be unstable and will only survive a short time. Even though it's so powerful that people will say, who can make war with the beast? Who can make war with the beast? Why? Because what the beast is going to do is what the Muslims do. It's going to get that army and it's going to steamroll it down into the Middle East and take over the whole area. Stop the morning and evening sacrifices. I just wonder if the Pope, with the actual fact, I know Mr. Armstrong said one time that he would be trying to set up a world religion. Because I reckon that there's a lot of, I've seen articles that virtually prove that a lot of the treasure taken out of the temple is actually in the Vatican. And that he would take that down there. And the Catholics always want to bring everybody in. It's syncretism. You take over a country, and who's your God? Oh, God's Thor. Okay, he's our God as well. But you also now, you guys have got this guy, this guy, this guy. So you're not, instead of having one God, you now got six. And we've got seven, isn't that great? Yeah, and it's enforced by law, by the way. And they take over the next name. Who's your God? Oh, our God, so-and-so. And that's the Catholics. They've got wild people down in all sorts of countries in the early days, and they could barely say anything in English. But because they did the right things at the right time, and they jumped up and down, and they put the smoke and the bells and all the rest of it, they were good Catholics. They were good Catholics. You see, it's syncretism. It's a mixture of religion. That's why it's not going to stand. Spanish king is after getting Gibraltar back. Well, there's a surprise. Mr. Armstrong said in 1979, Britain and America came into possession of every major sea gate in the world, so we must be modern Israel. World War II hinged on these gates. Places like the Suez Canal, Gibraltar, Panama Canal, and so on. So they have become not only strategic passes, but the world's greatest fortifications. But today we have lost most of them, most recently the Panama Canal, because this was written back in the 70s. And it appears that soon Gibraltar too will be lost. It's going. I've got to stick this bit in. I read this and I laughed. But a lot of people, unfortunately, read it and think it's true. These people attack everything, yet they deny what's right before their eyes. Quote, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Eternal does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. These sycophantic Armstrongists make a lot of noise about Armstrong's so-called prophecies and how prescient he supposedly was. One group even going so far as to proclaim quite unaccountably he was right. The articles in this section demolish that pretense by laying out the actual claims and comparing them with the real facts on the ground, and surprisingly enough, Armstrong was in fact wrong every time. Right? Now, that is battle gab taken to a whole new level, because he was right all the time. They cannot accept it. You see the problem with atheists, it's the same with the people who believe in the old green slime stuff, and you know, the evolutionists. The reason they believe all these stupid ideas is if they believe in a creator, they've got to accept that creator is more powerful than they are. And therefore, that creator is God. That creator, you better be on the right side of. You better be learning to do what he says. You better be getting your nose in this book and finding out. And this I used to say they will not do, but you know what? This they cannot do. They cannot do it, because they're hugging the wrong tree. As Mr. Armstrong said, they're hugging the wrong tree. They don't have the Spirit. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you cannot obey God. It is totally impossible. In the February, March 1939 issue of the Plain Truth magazine, contained an article on the resurrection of the whole of the Roman Empire to come. says, we have warned our radio listeners of this prophesied event since the first year we were on air, 1934, 10 years before I was even born. We have shouted this prophecy since 1934 in the plain truth. The very first plain truth is a dictator going to arise in Europe? This issue carries a full-page map, which I have sketched and traced on the mimeograph stencil showing the territory of the Roman Empire. And there's actually a photograph on this website where you can actually see that Mr. Armstrong did the map and then got it on the old mimeograph, yeah. They had to literally stand there all day putting the sheets there to put the plain truth out. See, but the all-important seventh and last head is being formed today before our very eyes. It is rising out of the common market in Europe, out of which 10 nations or groupings of nations will ultimately combine to form a new European Union. It is taking place right in front of our noses right now. Germany's imperial army to build German European order. The German administration has recently conducted intense negotiations to discuss the creation of a European army with European allies. Whatever the meaning of all this talking might be, the goal is clear. Germany aspires to the role of global military power. But they don't pay 2% to NATO. The EU's already got its own armed force, evidently. The EU's finally gets its own armed force, and Brussels' private army border guards is launched. They have lethal force, i.e. they've got some guns. What they're going to shoot, who knows? The troopers will answer directly to the unelected bureaucrats in Brussels. Germany does not want that. I got pages of this stuff. Germany moves to run its own EU army. Germany is positioning itself to be the country which would be the dominant force in a new EU army, regardless of its structure. The very thing they wanted to destroy and stop happening again has happened right before their eyes, and again, nobody's doing a thing about it. There's one article here which you could just keep an ear open for this one. Sanctions brought nothing. German politician calls for rapprochement with Russia. In other words, this American sanctions, we need to back off. It's hurting Europe. They're losing billions in trade, and they know that Russia is one of their trading partners. But remember what happened with Mr. Ribbentrop before the Second World War? Before they attacked anybody, the first thing they did, they went to Russia, and they had all big buddies and big dinners and big speeches, and we won't attack you, you're not going to attack us, and we're going to trade this, we're going to trade that. Everybody was happy. Sign on the dotted line. The minute he got that, he's back to Hitler, and then, woof, World War II started. Are we going to see an agreement between Germany and Russia? Watch it carefully. It's almost guaranteed. As Mr. Armstrong says, history's got a real quirky way of repeating itself. And finally, just look at the rise of the right wing in Germany. From nothing 2 years ago, they're now winning all the elections, and, you know, getting into all the different parliaments. It's 14-15% of the vote every time. And I'll tell you one thing, just one or two major terrorist incidents in Germany, and you will see that figure go through the roof. The world economy, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but it's a mess. The global debt is an all-time high of $152 trillion. Right. The estimated value of the Rothschild fortune is $500 trillion. So why don't we just approach Mr. Rothschild and say, look, please, buddy, just pay the debt off and we can all go back to normal. These money people, these bankers, they control the world. What was the first thing Christ did when he went into Jerusalem? Is he went into the temple and he cleared them out. I think there's a great significance in that. Trade wars. I gave a sermon down in South Africa about 25 years ago saying that trade wars had already started, and they had. And they're still going on, and they're getting worse and worse. I was going to read this. So long as German prosperity continues, the Nazi takeover will not be possible. Somebody beat me to it. You got it in your notes from the sermonette. Okay? 40 years later, Time magazine, this is just the other day, in an article of faith among economists that rising global protectionism intensifies the Great Depression of the 1930s. Between 1929 and 1934, wait for it, world trade declined by 2/3. Let that sink in. 66% decline in trade between the nations of the world. 66%. No wonder the place went in a tailspin. So did Mr. Armstrong get it wrong? Sorry, good people. Bang on the nail. It's not just Deutsche Bank that's gone, the whole European system's gone. I had an interesting chat with a lady the other day who would like to be with us and unfortunately can't, but her son is actually one of the top people in Deutsche Bank. And she says, this is a lot of baloney. The whole system's rotten. It's not just Deutsche Bank. It's complete. And the U.S. is causing a lot of it. The U.S. authority has fined Deutsche Bank about $14 billion, right? Which is almost as much as Deutsche Bank's entire value. And they go on to say that if they don't pay the fine, then the Americans cut off their ability to exchange dollars in the world market, which effectively shuts the bank down. It's called blackmail. In the old days, we'd call that blackmail. A former conservative defense minister has slapped down Angela Merkel over her any future trade deal negotiations that could spark a trade war between Britain and mainland Europe. It's in the news every day. It's in the news every day. Why? Because I'm devaluing my currency, which makes my goods cheaper. You see? And old Robert there says, no. I'm going to put some more money and make my money cheaper. And somebody else says, no, I've got to... So what we're doing is we're debasing all the currencies. And people need to look back to Rome. Because the Roman Empire crumbled, they kept on debasing their currency until it was near worthless. We're doing the same thing. Do you know why? 2,000 years ago it was the same. Why? Because the same insane being is running the show. And the other day we pictured the greatest day of the year as far as I'm concerned. They get Satan out of the way, this world will change. That's why he's angry right now. Israel. Netanyahu invites Abbas to speak at the Knesset. Netanyahu is saying, come, talk peace. Abbas won't go. Because the reason, and this is why Netanyahu's being so clever, all Netanyahu wants is for the world to accept that Israel is a state. And that includes the Muslims. And the Muslims cannot do it. So he's got them. As long as he can keep this up, he can string this on. But mark my words, you all understand Black Swan. The event that comes out of nowhere, there's a complete shock. Be prepared for something in the Middle East. Something's going to have to happen dramatic down there to bring end time events to a head. And there's not much time left for that to happen. Top rabbis are saying the time has come for the Messiah. Messiah's coming. Then you've got the Syria. There's my notes from Syria. You all see it? The headline. Pointless. That's what the place looks like. It's a mess. It's a ruin. And they're still killing people. And then we've got the Roman Catholic Church. Cardinal Raymond Burke came out the other day and made a very interesting statement. He says, Islam wants to conquer the world and the West is letting it. Yeah. That's the Catholic Church. This is what they believe. Yeah. Cut all the smoochy going on with the Pope and all the imams and everything else. Watch what's happening between the Pope and all the leaders of the other offshoots of the Catholic Church. That's what's important. And they are getting together. And a lot of the Protestants are joining in. Don't expect one Catholic Church, but expect one Catholic group. I mean, even the Germans, the Lutherans, are now, you know, openly talking about joining up with the Catholic Church.
They'll never become Catholics. I really doubt that. But they will follow what the Pope says, because the Pope has become the moral authority on the face of this earth. Remember that speech? Return to yourself, be yourself, discover your origins, revive your roots. Experience again those authentic values that made your history glorious and your presence in other continents beneficial. Like the 100 or so million they slaughtered in the Middle Ages because they wouldn't believe Catholic doctrine. Your glorious future, your glorious history. How's this for a quote from a man that regarded Mr. Armstrong as a friend, Dr. Otto von Habsburg? The religious foundation of a society is the only real and lasting foundation that this society may have. That's what the Europeans believe. And when the time comes, they'll jump on board with the Catholic Church, because then they'll have the moral authority to do what they're doing. It's almost like going back to the Crusade. Remember back in 2013, Mr. Netanyahu wanted to see the Pope, and he was told, no, you can't, not 8 to 12 weeks, we need at least 8 to 12 weeks to create a time slot for you. Well, we had a financial crisis, and Pope Francis had this famous speech where he called on world leaders to end the cult of money. He knows where the problem lies. And he said, free market economics have created a tyranny in which people are valued only by their ability to consume, the pontiff told diplomats in the Vatican. Money has to serve, not rule, he said, urging ethical financial reforms. 2 days later, Mrs. Merkel is at the Vatican. Think about it. She relies heavily on the... She's not a Catholic, but she relies heavily on the Catholic vote to stay in power. Mr. Armstrong says in the autobiography, we don't understand German thoroughness. From the very start of World War II, they have considered the possibility of losing the second round as they did the first, and they have carefully, methodically planned in such eventuality the third round, World War III. The Bible foretells that third round, and it spells doom for us as God's punishment, because we as a nation have forsaken him and his ways. The third round is termed in prophecy an invasion by Babylon, a resurrected Roman Empire, a European Union. I've been proclaiming that since 1927. You got it wrong, yeah? I wouldn't bank on it. In fact, I think we can safely bank on it that he got it pretty right. Because that revelation did not come from Mr. Armstrong. It came from Jesus Christ. And that's what these people who criticize him have forgotten. We then have natural disasters. Matthew 24 talks about earthquakes. It means seismos. It means literally any commotion within the earth. Volcanoes, it can be earthquakes, I mean, causing tsunamis and so forth. And we've been having them, and we're ready for another one. And it's funny that the press is full of it at the moment, isn't it? You see articles all over the place. Read Leviticus 18:24. Because here's a warning. Here's a warning, and I'm tying a spiritual thing to a physical thing here. Defile not yourselves with any of these things. This is talking about Israel going into the promised land. For all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. I shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of you or your own nation, neither any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as I spewed out the nations that were before you. Think about it. Now suddenly, we've discovered a great big second fault line, paralleling the San Andreas fault. This Canary Islands volcano. What they're really not telling you in the press is that years ago, not that long ago actually, there was an eruption and the cone collapsed at an angle pointing towards the sea. This thing's thousands of feet high. If that blows the top of that thing can slide down into the sea. It's not just a beach at the bottom. It just keeps on going down about 3,000 feet. You will have a tsunami caused by that, which will be unbelievable. When it hits New York, the lowest projected height is 200 feet, traveling at 600 miles an hour. Can you imagine what would happen to New York, Florida, all those low-lying countries, coasts? Maybe this will happen when God's people have been safely taken out of there. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe we're taken out of these nations first, as Mr. Armstrong mentioned. I'll be covering some of that this next week. Maybe we're just taken out, and after that, something terrible happens in America, and all these other prophecies start coming to hand. But Iceland's on the verge of erupting. Canary Islands. Dear. Japan's largest active volcano. Yellowstone eruption. Yellowstone's bubbling and gurgling and earthquaking and all sorts. Second parallel fault line to the San Andreas. Concern grows a mega earthquake is going to hit the middle of the United States. The Lisbon fault line, which runs up to Mississippi and right on up there, when that blew up in the 1800s, the Mississippi got tilted so much it ran backwards. Yeah, 300-foot hills appeared out of nowhere. There's a huge lake there to this day that was formed by that earthquake. So in just a few minutes, what do we watch for in this next year? Well, US and GB being destroyed from within. Watch it go downhill. Watch what happens. Watch the American election. Next year, just before the feast, is the German election, when I think Mrs. Merkel will probably get booted out, if we get that far. Don't forget Leviticus. Just make a note of these scriptures. Leviticus 26:19. I will break the pride of your power. Verse 16 of Leviticus 26. Back a few verses. I will appoint terror unto you. Deuteronomy 32:25. The sword without and terror within. That's what's predicted in the Bible. Another area to watch is Isaiah 9:21. It says Manasseh against Ephraim, Ephraim against Manasseh, and together they're against Judah. What can that mean? Some kind of bust up? You know, Satan's biggest ploy is divide and conquer. If he can break the relationship between Britain and America, and then break the relationship between Britain and America and Israel, that leaves Israel vulnerable. And Judah is going to get a wound of some sort. Not completely destroyed, but a wound. Big thing is expect major dramas in the Middle East. It is not going to get any better. We are going to see, and I still think, something drastically unusual. Maybe Israel's attacked and they respond with atomic weapons. I mean, that would lighten things up a little bit. But in all this, make a note of this. Read it tonight before you go to bed. Because this can be upsetting. I know it's upsetting at some levels. Philippians 4, verse 6. We are told, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's what we do. We need to be looking forward. We are ambassadors. We are the representatives of the kingdom of God. Think about it. Think about what an ambassador is, what he does. We need to be looking forward to what this feast is all about and what God and Christ are currently training us for. We're all being trained for an office. And we're all being trained probably for quite different things. We all have different abilities. And get this, and please get it, and we all struggle with it. We are no longer citizens of America, Britain, Denmark, France, Holland, Germany, or whatever. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. That's the key. What is happening in our countries? I can give Philippians 3:20. It's the one that says our citizenship is in heaven, as is our leader, Jesus Christ. What is happening in our countries is a direct result of those countries breaking God's law. Crazy. It's some of the things are absolutely crazy. We've even put laws in place that go directly opposite of God's law. We are observers. That's what we're doing when we're watching. Why does God want us to watch? He wants us to watch that we understand his power. Just as those Israelites, when they go back into Israel, for 7 long months, they're going to scrape up all those bones off the ground and bury them. Why? So they can see the power that God had, that he, at one flash, could destroy 160 million people over the world. That's what it's all about, so that people understand the power of God. And we represent the coming government. That's what we represent. That's what it's all about. It's not a game. We come to this feast not as a holiday. It's a training session. It's a bonding session for us as well. Our future is to be pillars in the very temple of God. That's the reward of the first fruits. Right in the temple of God, in the holy city, with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Do you realize the calling we've got? It's beyond awesome, isn't it? Let's read it. Just in closing, let's turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 11. And just note something here. It says, "Behold, I come quickly." Yes, it could take 2 years to get things into place. It could be happening over this weekend. If the banks collapse, social order breaks down, within the next month or two, you could see a completely changed world. So, you know, we don't need to turn around and say, oh, we'll be here for another 2 years. We might be. We might not. That's why we watch. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have. Let no man take your crown." How does a man take your crown? By taking you off the track. By taking you off the gospel that was once and for all delivered to the saints. And that's the key. You don't need to write 50,000 page manuscripts. 2 scriptures. Jude verse 3. "Earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints." And then Revelation 3. It says here, "Hold fast. Hang on to it for grim death. Him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." Name, authority. Why? Because we are the bride of Christ. We marry Christ. We become, we can't become one flesh, but we become one with Christ. What does it mean, atonement? At one meant together. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches."